to your classes. Remember, it is Promotion Sunday, so some of you are going to a different class this Sunday. Moving on up, as the saying goes. But that also means that we have some seventh graders here with us in the worship center during the sermon time. And I'm so glad that you have promoted to this time. And as your preacher, as your minister, I really want to encourage you to engage in this time when we're in the Word. Follow along in your Bibles. And you haven't been promoted out of Bible class. I mean, we are studying the Bible. I remember as your age, seventh, eighth grade, how I was being formed by the Word of God, the preachers that were speaking truth into my life. And so welcome, seventh graders, to worship. Glad that you're here. You've come in the middle of a sermon series that I'm preaching about the Northern Kingdom. We're in the year, the 800s, late 700s, and things are not good in the Northern Kingdom. Long gone are the days of Saul, David, and Solomon when the kingdom was united and the land was prosperous. It is divided into north and south, and we're focusing on the Northern Kingdom. There's going to be 19 kings, and there's going to be 19 failures. Not one of these kings honor God. It's just downhill from the division. I've really enjoyed studying these kings. We're actually 7 kings into this series. And so we have 12 more to go, I say with a moanful tone, because the 7 that we've studied already haven't been good, and the 12 are not going to improve things at all. I've enjoyed studying this period of history, but it's also somewhat discouraging. And I warned you about this when we started this series, that there's not going to be a lot of good news. But today I want us to step back a little bit from the kings, and I want us to look at another prominent character that witnesses to the truth of who God is, and that is the prophet Elijah. He was a shining light in a world full of darkness, trying to do what was right. But Elijah lived during this time, and it must have been very discouraging to be a prophet, a person who had been selected by God to speak truth into the lives of these people, and at least at the top, these people are not listening. So Elijah, there were no newspapers, there was no internet back at Elijah's time. But imagine if Elijah had a smartphone or a computer and he was scrolling through his news feed back during his time. Here are some of the headlines that Elijah would have seen. King Ahab builds temple to Baal, official state religion, now idolatry. Queen Jezebel's purge of prophets continues, Yahweh's messengers hunted and executed. Nation turns from Yahweh to idols, spiritual reversal complete. Young people embracing Baal worship, the next generation lost. Or maybe these headlines, corruption in royal courts reaches crisis, leadership morally bankrupt. Wealthy exploit the poor, justice perverted, courts corrupt. Famine, now in third year, economic collapse, people suffering, Assyrian threat looms, enemy advancing on borders. Can you imagine Elijah hearing all of this? This was the news of the day, watching the nation fall apart, watching justice disappear, watching the spiritual culture absolutely collapse. Living under King Ahab, the ministry of Elijah and the reign of King Ahab are going to overlap. And so Elijah, as he's walking the streets of the Northern Kingdom, he's walking by these altars to Baal, these altars to Asherah, watching the nation turn its back on God and feeling powerless to stop it, wanting to stop it, but feeling powerless. Spiritual darkness everywhere. Can you imagine how Elijah must have felt? Some of you may be thinking, yeah, I can. I know exactly how he feels. Because we see similar headlines, don't we, in our world today. Headlines that talk about the demise of Christianity, the decline in church attendance, how children and young people are falling away from the Lord, how Christian ethics are not being practiced like they used to. we live in a world where sin is not just tolerated, but we live in a world where sin is actually celebrated. Elijah must have been discouraged. And to be honest with you, sometimes I feel that discouragement as well. And as I talk to people, as I talk to you, as I talk to others, other believers, I feel that sentiment as well. You, we, and Elijah share a common concern. So we might be thinking to ourselves, man, God has just lost control. The nation is gone. I'm the only one left at school. I'm the only one left in my workplace. Faithfulness, it doesn't matter anymore. But here's something that I've noticed during this period of history as well. There are 19 evil kings, and this is the time, the period, the era of the kings, but this is also the era of the prophets. This is the time of the prophets as well. God is still pursuing his people. We see that in Elijah in his story today. We'll be in 1 Kings chapter 18 if you want to follow along. But we're going to see this throughout the rest of the Old Testament, that God continues to pursue people. God is active, God is speaking, and God is pursuing. And so just like Elijah, we cannot give in to this discouragement. We cannot give in to negativity because God hasn't given up and we can't give up as well. So today as we look at the story of Elijah, I want us to look into some insights into his life that may help us live in this world where the headlines are equally depressing as they were in the days of Elijah. First, I want you to know that discouragement is real. It happens. Even to the best of people, believers feel discouraged. Elijah felt discouraged. One of the highlights of Elijah's ministry is when he encounters the prophets of Baal at Mount Carmel. I'll talk a little bit about that more as we dive into this story. But he has this great victory at Mount Carmel. He wins. God shows up. But after that event takes place and prophets of Baal are destroyed, Queen Jezebel says this: "By this time tomorrow," she says to Elijah, "I'll have your head on a pole." She wants to get rid of Elijah. She hates Elijah. And so at this point, he runs and he flees. He's terrified, and Elijah is going to find himself in a cave having a pity party for himself. This is what he says. This is actually 1 Kings 19 in verse 10. He says, "I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too." You can just hear it in Elijah's voice. You can hear that discouragement. You can hear that despair, that isolation, the hopelessness. I'm the only one left. Here's the danger of discouragement. It can bring you to false conclusions. It can bring you to isolation, and it can bring you to despair. Here's what God responds to Elijah's pity party in verse 18 of chapter 19. God says, "Elijah, I have 7,000 people left in Israel who have never bowed down before Baal and whose mouths have never kissed his idol." You're not alone, but see, this is what discouragement does. If we let it live in our lives, we come to all of these false conclusions. And so God needs to show up in Elijah's life. And so he calls Elijah to come out to the edge of this cave, and he says, "I'm about to pass by." It's a beautiful story. And so a powerful wind comes by, but God is not in the powerful wind. And then there's a powerful earthquake that takes place, and God is not in that earthquake. And then there's this great fire that comes by, and God is not in this fire. But then after all these dramatic events, something else happens. In 1 Kings 19, 12, a still, small voice appears at the mouth of the cave, and that's where God is. God is in this quiet whisper. And then he says to Elijah, "What are you doing here? It's time to get out of this cave." He's been so consumed by the discouragement. God says, "I'm still here. I'm still present, even in the quiet moments of life. I'm there. Elijah's believing that he's the only one left. God is saying, I have not given up on this nation. Elijah may be thinking, my faithful witness doesn't matter. I mean, no matter how great a demonstration of who you are takes place, they're still going after me. But God is saying your witness does matter. Elijah's thinking Jezebel is too powerful, but God is saying I'm even more powerful than Jezebel. I'm here. I haven't abandoned you. All you have to do is continue to listen. You're not alone. There's a remnant. There's 7,000 other people. There's 7,000 other people praying. There are 7,000 other people who have not bowed their knee to Baal. So when we are discouraged, it's not time to run into a cave. It's not time to start exaggerating things and believing lies. It's time for us to look around our world and to see that even in the small things in life, that God is working. The very fact that we're meeting here today, God is working. And there are thousands of other churches across the country, across the world, that are meeting today, singing songs of praise to God, not bowing their knee to the culture that we live in. There are young people being baptized, our youth ministry. We have kids that are, we have these kids going out to class. And let it never be lost on us that this is such an important time for those kids to hear about the Word of God. There are marriages being healed. There are people coming to Christ. There are people being baptized into Christ. Every time someone is baptized, we can see that God is still working. And so Elijah's response, if you feel discouraged, would be this. Don't hide in the cave of discouragement. Get out, look around, listen for God's still small voice in the big moments and in the quiet ones. The second thing we see from this period of history is that God is still pursuing. And again, let me remind you, this is not just the age of unfaithful kings. This is the age of the prophets. God is relentless. He sends Elijah, one of the most powerful prophets in all of the Old Testament. After Elijah, another powerful prophet is going to rise up, Elisha. And then as the story continues to unfold, we're going to see other writing prophets that are speaking to the northern kingdom. We see Amos, a book written to the northern kingdom, which God is pursuing them. The book of Hosea is God proclaiming his unfailing love for people. Jonah is written during this time period as well. And what is amazing about Jonah's story is that Jonah is a prophet to the Assyrians. These are the enemies of God's people. And this becomes the overarching theme of the Bible from this point on. Actually, the whole theme of the Bible is that God constantly pursues his people. Now, you think Elijah is discouraged? You think we are discouraged? Imagine God. Imagine his discouragement. But God does not give up. In fact, in the book of Hosea, the whole story is a story of God's unfailing love for his people. Hosea takes an unfaithful wife, cheats on him over and over and over again. God says, Hosea, don't give up on that wife. And it's a parable. It's a story about God, where God is the faithful husband, where he will not give up on the unfaithful wife, Israel. God continues to pursue. In fact, in Hosea 11 and verse 8, this is what the prophet says, or God says through the prophet. How can I give you up, Ephraim? Ephraim is another name for the northern kingdom. How can I give you up? How can I hand you over, Israel? This is God speaking. My heart is changed within me. All my compassion is aroused. I mean, God is pursuing prophet after prophet after prophet. And as we look through this story and we see judgment eventually coming to the nation of Israel, even the nation of Judah, let's not make God to be the villain here. God is always pursuing, and he's pursuing people today. I read studies about younger males are attending church in numbers that we haven't seen in decade after decade after decade. We see revivals on college campuses. People that are turning to the Lord. People who are just praising Him for days and days on end. Here at church, we see people that are giving their life over to Christ. And as I said, every baptism is a reminder that God is pursuing people. He's pursuing you. He's pursuing your neighbors. He's pursuing Denison. He's pursuing Sherman. He's pursuing Texoma. He's pursuing this world. We can see this, and sometimes we need to get out. We go to conferences. We have the honor of going to conferences every now and then, and it's amazing to see thousands upon thousands of people just worshiping God. We have kids that are going to camp this summer, and how encouraging that is, a reminder that God is pursuing our young people. The churches that bear witness to the faith of God, we can see it all around us if we look, that God constantly is pursuing us. He has not abandoned us. And I think Elijah senses that as well. And as he senses that, he continues to work, even through his discouragement. So Elijah may say this to us about God: your pursuit of us never stops. Your heart breaks for us, but you keep coming back. Keep calling, keep working to bring us home. All right, something else we see in the life of Elijah is that we need to stay faithful, even when it's uncomfortable. Elijah is a vocal, bold, confident voice in this time period. Again, let's look at 1 Kings 18. I told you we'd talk more about this signature event in the life of Elijah on Mount Carmel. In 1 Kings 18 and in verse 15, Elijah says, "As the Lord Almighty lives, whom I serve, I will surely present myself to Ahab today." I'm going to Ahab. We talked about him last week. He is this wicked king. He sets the bar for wicked kings, he and his wife Jezebel. He says, "I'm going to be vocal, I'm going to stand up, and I'm going to approach this evil king." And so Elijah sets up this encounter in verses 19 through 21 of 1 Kings 18. So this is what Elijah says. "I summon the people from all over Israel to meet me on Mount Carmel, and bring the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah." Bring them all in, all those who eat at Jezebel's table. "So Ahab sent word throughout all Israel and assembled the prophets on Mount Carmel." All right, Elijah goes before the people and he says to them, "How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him." But I love how this passage ends. "But the people said nothing." And I can imagine Elijah has practiced this speech. "I'm going to deliver these words, and surely I'm going to have at least a few golf claps, right? Surely people are going to rise to the occasion. Surely people are going to pronounce their loyalty to Yahweh." But as Elijah issues this challenge, nothing. He hears nothing at all. One man, Elijah, against these 450 prophets of Baal. So you read that story and it's almost comical. Elijah is taunting the prophets of Baal and Asherah. "Come on, bring it on. What are you doing? What's happening here? Have you gone on vacation? Are you out? Are you not available?" Whatever it is. And nothing happens as they're calling down fire from heaven. Baal does nothing whatsoever. And then eventually, Elijah steps forward. He prays. That's all he does. He prays, and then this fire comes down from heaven, and the wood burns, the stone burns, the water burns. Elijah, in fact, to show the power of God, he said, "Let's bring more water. Let's wet down this wood. Let's put a bunch of water here." All of that burns up. God shows up in a very powerful way, and the people witness the power of God with their own eyes. And then, only after then, in verse 39 of chapter 18, when all the people saw it, they fell face down on the ground and cried out, "The Lord, Yahweh, the Lord, He is God. Yes, the Lord is God." I see. This is what a faithful witness looks like. Right, Elijah, even though he's all alone, he confronts evil, he's bold, and he's confident. But then after he stands up, then everyone else follows suit. I mean, the nation is not going to turn back to God. Destruction is going to come. But at least at this point in history, there's a spark of revival because one man decided to stand up against the evil king. So people, we cannot allow discouragement to silence us. And this is what I'm learning, that even if we don't experience success, and again, the kingdom is going to fall, even if we don't experience success, that is not the metric of faithfulness. Obedience is. All right, we continue to obey even when it is not comfortable, even when the world doesn't change. So when you get discouraged, thinking, what's the point? The world's too dark, evil's too entrenched, my witness doesn't matter. Remember Mount Carmel, how that one faithful voice shook a nation, if just for a moment, pointed them to God's power. So Elijah might say this to us, I stood alone while everyone was silent, but I stood, and my boldness mattered more than I could have known. All right, last point, vindication is promised. All right, here's the final piece of Elijah's story. He ministers for year after year. He has these victories. He goes through these depressing, discouraging times. He runs out. He goes into the cave. But Elijah, the end of his story is amazing. Right, he does not die in defeat. Right, he does not get executed by Jezebel, as much as she would love to be the one who brings that fatal blow to this prophet Elijah. As Jezebel is not going to get him. He's going to go out in the grandest fashion that we see in the Bible, in 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 11. As they were walking along and talking together, and I think he's walking with Elisha, who is going to carry on this prophetic voice, but then there are others. I mean, as you read through this, there's like a school of prophets. There's dozens and dozens of people that are still faithful to Yahweh. As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses. Imagine this, picture this, a chariot of fire and horses, and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Vindication. This is proof positive. God is saying, this has been my prophet. And this is how I'm going to show you how I approve of his work, how I am pleased at the way that he stood up in this period of rebellion and wickedness. Elijah was vindicated, and this is how God is saying, well done, good and faithful servant. All right. And that's the promise for us as well. All right. In the discouragement, in those periods of time, even when we stand up and we don't see success, we can always look forward to that day when God will say to us, not let me see your stat sheet, let me see how many people you converted to Christ. Of course, we want that to be as many as possible. We want to make heaven crowded, as the saying goes. We want to bring as many people to Christ as we possibly can. But when it comes to judgment, it's going to be, have you been faithful? Have you been that bold and confident voice in the time that you lived? And if we have been faithful, we will hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. So Elijah might say to us, the kingdom fell anyway, but God said, well done. And that's all the vindication a faithful servant needs. Discouragement is real. Elijah felt it. You feel it. I feel it. Evil is real. It's there. We can't deny that. The world is dark, I feel that, and you feel that, but it's not going to be the last word. We can't hide in a cave. We can't isolate ourselves. We need to look around. We need to see that God is doing things in big gatherings where thousands of people worship together, but even in those small moments where just one person encounters Jesus Christ. And those small moments are happening all around us. And I want you to know that God is pursuing. God is still working. God has not given up. God has not been cowed by the evil powers of this world. He sends prophets. He sends messengers. He sends you. He sends me. He's orchestrating things in this world so that people can experience him. And even though the nation fell away and Elijah didn't stop it, he was still faithful. And that's what our call is, to remain faithful. What I want us to do, I want to remind you, I'm just going to rapid fire you some scripture from the New Testament that reminds us that even when we feel defeated, even when we feel discouraged, the kingdom of God is going to be victorious. It is victorious, and it will be declared victorious once and for all when Christ comes back. And I want us to hear these words as encouragement to be faithful witnesses in this world. Here's what Jesus says. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. John the Apostle says, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. This is what Paul says. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control. In Romans chapter 8, that beautiful chapter that our kids are learning, Romans 8, 37, in all these things we are, you know it, more than conquerors through him who loved us. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, Paul, who experienced many of the same discouragement that we feel, that Elijah felt, he says, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not given to despair. And then Paul says this as he concludes that great chapter of Romans chapter 8, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else, if I've forgotten anything, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. When you feel discouraged, hear these passages. When you feel discouraged, know that you are working for a kingdom that will never fail. When you feel discouraged, remind yourself, I need to be the bold and confident voice in this world. When you feel discouraged, even when no one else is listening to you, recognize that I am living for that day when I will hear those words, well done. When you feel discouraged, remember these words of Scripture reminding you that greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. As discouraged as you may be, remind yourself, you have made the right decision. You have chosen the kingdom that will last. And that's what Elijah did. In this time of darkness, Elijah resolved that he was going to be a man of God. In fact, his very name itself was a declaration that Yahweh was God. Imagine having a name like that. That's what the name means. El is the word for God. I is the first person possessive pronoun. Yah is an abbreviation of Yahweh. Every time he spoke his name, he says, hello, I am Elijah. Hello, my God is Yahweh. I don't care what anyone else says. I don't care what Ahab says. I don't care what Jezebel says. I don't care that I'm walking by all of these temples to Baal and Ashtaroth. My God is Yahweh. And I'm going to live like it. I'm victorious and I'm powerful and I'm confident because the God who lives within me. These days may be evil. These days may be hard. These days may be difficult. But this is also the day where we need to be Elijah. We need to be the people who are bold and confident and speak the word of God. Those were discouraging days, but those were the days of the prophets. These sometimes are discouraging days. But people, these are the days of Elijah. Let's stand together and sing.
These are the days of Elijah.